Right now, our pleasure, we have Owen along with his dad, Nathan, and it's the 32nd annual Faraday Lecture taking place. And Nathan, I'm happy that you're able to be with us. And that you brought your son, too.
Yeah, thanks. We're happy to be here. Thanks for letting us come in.
Yes, thank you. Happy to be here.
And I'm not sure who to start. Well, I'm going to start with you, Owen, since you're here. You're 14 in ninth grade. Do you have a love of science?
Yes. Yes, I've always loved science, and particularly engineering.
What is it that you like about that topic?
Well, I've always been curious kid. So, and yeah, I just love just finding new things, learning, and yeah.
You know, I have trouble. I'll bet you probably both. I don't know if I should say trouble, but when you see something, do you always want to solve it or fix it or make it better?
For the most part, yeah.
Your dad's yeah. nodding his head. That's like a marriage tip or a relationship tip. If you're married to somebody and if you're an engineer or a scientist, like I am, you eventually realize that not everybody is looking for you to solve things.
Yeah, you've been down that road. Huh?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's a common pitfall, I think, for us.
Engineers yeah. want a man or a woman typically want to solve problems.
Exactly. And, yeah, we can fix that. Let me fix it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, just listen and take it in. It's hard to stop.
It is.
Fixing, and the world needs people like that. Is there a particular discipline you like, Owen? Or?
Particularly engineering.
Yes.
Yeah. Probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Mechanical engineering, robotics.
Excellent. Well, yeah. Let's talk about Faraday.
Yeah.
And he invented and worked with so many things.
Yeah, it was amazing. I have to admit, I didn't have even a great feel for how many things he had invented until I was researching him. So I had heard of the Farad and his work with as a unit for induction and electromagnetism. And then I read more and I found out that he discovered benzene, which is a fundamental chemical, or a molecule, I should say. So amazing guy. And then also was credited with the early version of the Bunsen burner, although I'm sure Bunsen would have something to say about
that. Yeah, and I forgot about, and I shouldn't because it's right in his name, but yeah. That's the unit of measurement for capacitance
yeah.
is the farad. And yep. just the other day I was fixing an air conditioning unit and looking for the right capacitor and yeah. farads. And there he is, Michael Faraday.
Exactly. Still here, 100 and some odd, well, gosh, pushing 200 years, I guess. And the Faraday cage also.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's if you go to his Wikipedia page, it's amazingly diverse.
Now, Faraday lectures occur in a lot of different cities, and I don't know how the tradition got started.
It started back in 1825. So Michael Faraday and the folks at the Royal Institution in London saw a need for educating people, and in particular children, about science. So they took it upon themselves to have a series of lectures, and that's the historical name. So it's not my favorite choice for what to call it, because when you think of lecture, you think a little bit perhaps boring or getting lectured by someone. This is more of it's chemistry and physics demonstrations. It's infotainment, if you will. I that's a cheesy word. but you know, it's science education and outreach with interesting chemistry and physics demonstrations. And they're explained to a depth that they normally wouldn't be, perhaps, in other venues.
Well, and there's a fine art to doing that. And I mentioned Carnegie Science Center a little mm-hmm. earlier. There are some amazing people that have spent lots and lots of time learning how to demonstrate yes. science. And there's plenty of videos to watch. Everybody knows Bill Nye. That's there's right. a new dude doing that. And I say dude with every sense of the word. I can't think of his name. He has kind of longish hair. And he,
Kyle Hill.
Yep. Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Owen.
Yeah.
I didn't know his name.
I kind of stumbled on him to watch him doing that. And it's kind of neat to see. Yeah. So what's the upcoming lecture? There's one that is wide open to the public that people can come and see.
Yeah, we have three shows. The one that I'm promoting the most here is Tuesday, November 19th at 7 p.m. It's at Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall. And that one is open to the public. Any and all are welcome, although we won't turn anyone away, of course, to any of the others. But the other two, which are in the morning on Tuesday, the 19th, and Wednesday, the 20th, are more geared toward high schools and middle schools. And we've already done some reserved ticketing for those, advanced tickets, because we want to make sure we have enough seats for everyone.
And those are also at Soldiers and Sailors?
Yes, yeah. All of them are at Soldiers and Sailors. They're sponsored by the Spectroscopy Society of Pittsburgh, which I'm a member of, as well as the Society for the Analytical Chemists of Pittsburgh.
Those are both great organizations.
They are.
Years ago, spoke to, I think, a joint meeting of both of those groups. I mean, and this was a long, long time ago, but I really enjoyed it. It was over at the Engineers Club.
Yeah, they're fantastic organizations. And this year, we're lucky enough to have a local demonstrator doing the demonstrations, Dave D'Amelio. He's been doing chemical demonstrations for, at least 30 years. He's the lead chemical demonstrator for the chemistry department at the University of Pittsburgh.
Wow. So he will actually do demonstrations as part of his lectures.
Yeah. I mean, what a job, right?
I mean, you know, at Carnegie Mellon in the chemical engineering department, I took classes alongside of chemists. I was going to say we didn't have demonstrations. Maybe they reserved that for the chemists. But actually, we were alongside of the chemists. But they did not do such fanciful feats of fun like that.
Yeah.
That's a really great way to bring it alive.
It is. Yeah. I mean, everybody, I think we have some primal love of fire and explosions, right? I mean, I don't know. And so who doesn't like that? That grabs people's attention. And then once you have their attention, their ears are open to learning about the science of combustion or the electromagnetic radiation being emitted from the flame. And, you know, they're listening then.
That's Nathan. It's Chaffin?
Yeah, Chaffin.
Nathan Chaffin, who you just heard speaking. And we're talking about the 32nd annual Faraday Lecture. And his son, Owen, is here. Owen, is there an experiment that you either like to do or like to observe, of a few that you enjoy?
So a few of the different experiments I've enjoyed have been the elephant's toothpaste experiment.
What's that?
It's fun. That's when they pour a mix of chemicals into a tube and it creates a thermochemical reaction, producing a large amount of a usually dyed foam.
So
you fill a whole bathtub.
So these are all almost clear type liquids.
Yeah, you put them together and go ahead.
Yes. So you put them together and then they rapidly start reacting, and in about maybe 3 or 4 seconds can produce a lot of foam.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. So you start with a solution of concentrated hydrogen peroxide and soap, and it's clear, it looks, you know, normal. And you add potassium iodide, which catalyzes the decomposition of the hydrogen peroxide, making a ton of gas, which with the soap makes a ton of bubbles. And it just shoots out like as if elephant-sized toothpaste out of a toothpaste tube.
I think I saw this on the Lucy show once when she put too much soap in the washer.
I think that's right.
Is there another one you can recall that you like seeing?
So it's not as much one particular experiment as in broader classification of them. But usually they have a segment where they will do lots of fun things with liquid nitrogen. So freezing anything from bananas and hammering in nails to Cheetos, marshmallows.
And now I do remember seeing some experiments, but I think it might have been in high school, where you freeze just about anything, like a rose can be frozen, and then it shatters just like glass.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I went when he was in kindergarten, I went to his school, and you can freeze marshmallows and then which I was always only borderline comfortable with this, but people do it. And then you put the frozen marshmallow in their mouths of the kid. I know. Wow. I know exactly.
Yeah, the look on my face that Nathan just saw, it's like, oh my God. Yeah. Oh, I can, it's like, homages to television, but that's like the boy who stuck his tongue against the flagpole in a Christmas story. So and liquid nitrogen, frozen marshmallow is still there. Then you put it in your mouth?
Yeah, it crumbles in their mouth as they chew. And I think what saves them from being frozen to the marshmallow for all eternity is the vapor, perhaps.
I was going to say it must sublimate.
Yeah, and then they get a kick out of it because they start breathing it looks like steam, but you know, so they're all giggling but I quadruple checked this on the internet. I was like, really? Do I want to go do this? This doesn't seem safe. And the fifth time I checked it there, I was like, okay, people do this. This is a thing. It is safe.
But that's a good standard for the internet. Five tests from independent sources.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because here you can learn about principles of chemistry, physics, other aspects of science. Faraday was a Renaissance person, so there's lots that the umbrella of the Faraday lectures or show. Lectures is better than calling it shows because you're really learning. I've called the Faraday series. And what's fun is they happen all over the country, all over the world.
They do. It's an amazing tradition that blossomed out of his work in London. And this year we're lucky enough, as I said, to have Dave D'Amelio, and his theme of his show is Stardust, Musings and Memories. So he's kind of a scientist poet. so he's going to take this concept of the Big Bang and astrophysics and relate it back to atoms and atomic emission and the starlight and stardust and how we're all seeing starlight. We're all made of stardust and a little more philosophical and big picture than some of the past demonstrations or shows, but we are really looking forward to it. He's fantastic.
That sounds great. Where is he, a Pittsburgher?
He is. Yep. He's lived here for quite a while. I'm not exactly sure how long, but like I said, he's the head chemical demonstration expert at the University of Pittsburgh's chemistry department.
Now, this is going to be the date.
Yeah.
I should have it in front of me.
That's
I think
okay.
It's November 19th.
Yeah, Tuesday, November 19th at 7 p.m. And for more information, folks can go to www.faradaylecture.org. We somehow got lucky enough to get that URL.
That's great.
I'm surprised it was available. But yeah, www.faradaylecture.org for all the details.
And it's at Soldiers and Sailors in Oakland, easy to park, and
Absolutely.
A great, beautiful facility. The hall in there would be a great venue for what's going to be done.
It's beautiful. And, every year almost something's blown up. So it's such a large hall that it just resounds as it blows up. And all the kids, it's very thrilling for them. So it's a great place to have it.
I'm just imagining what it must look like. These days we see so many special effects and, animated things or fabricated things. And here you actually are going to be seeing things that are every bit as amazing, if not more so, but they're actual physical. It's not virtual reality. It's real virtuosity, maybe. I mean, what you're going to be seeing is actual real stuff, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. It is, and I think it gives the kids an appreciation for how things go right. And occasionally, I don't want to say they go wrong, but sometimes the demo doesn't go right exactly the first time, and they see that, hey, that's experimentation. It went 90% right. We're going to try it one more time, and we're going to get the loudest boom we can this time, or the brightest fire, or whatever. And I think all too often, like you said, because things are synthesized or done with VR, we see things that seem always perfect.
Or they're done. It's one of the reasons we do this 100% live. so many things are pre-recorded. Or Owen, if you hear a 14-year-old or see a 14-year-old on radio or TV, it's usually an actor rather than a real human being. And yeah. It's us, one of the reasons we do what we do is to do that. So Owen, I can I ask you a weird question? Maybe not too weird.
Yeah.
You can take a minute to think about it too. But if you had three wishes that you wanted to apply, and you can use them however you wish, after all they're your wishes, but they could be, well, I don't want to prejudice you by giving you examples. You can think about that for just a minute while I ask your dad. Yeah. When did you discover your love of science?
High school, I would say. I had a high school chemistry teacher and a high school physics teacher, Don Meyer and Ed Harbord. I still love them to this day.
High school?
Well, I grew up outside of Kansas City in a suburb, so Olathe South High School. But these guys were fantastic. They made it fun. They worked humor into it. And they both clearly loved science, and it shined through in the way that they taught.
Same's true for me. And when you said Don, I was thinking, oh my gosh, did we go to the same high school? Because it was Don Nelson who taught at Churchill Area High School, who was just amazing when it came to the way he taught chemistry, and also the physics teacher there, David Nagy, who I'm still in touch with from time to time.
Oh, that's great.
Taught physics in such a great way, and it really underscores how important it is to have great teachers.
It does, and this particular physics teacher gave us a very long leash. there was plenty of time. Often he would just let us build demonstrations. Like, so I made a bed of nails that we could lay down on, you know, to show the concept of pressure and force and area. We drilled into a bowling ball and put a screw in there and mounted it and swung it. You've probably seen that demonstration where you hold it up to your forehead, it swings out like a pendulum, and then swings back. It looks like it's going to crush your skull, and it doesn't, right?
Yeah,
because the energy's, you know, not there for it.
I was actually thinking about that as we were talking, and I've seen some videos of that, and it's really scary.
Speaking of scary demonstrations, the one that always gets me that I would not, I'm reluctant to, do not ever do this. This is a terrible idea, but I've heard back in the olden days they used to do this, that if you take exactly equal molar concentrations of strong acid and strong base in solution, they cancel out and form salt water. And there used to be some professors.
Oh, my.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we won't go down that any further, but you can see.
No, that's okay. They would actually do that and then drink it?
So that's not recommended by anybody. But whenever I hear unsafe chemical demonstration, I think of that one. And how eccentric do you have to be to try that? Or brave? I guess there's a fine line between brave and stupid,
brave,
right?
Brave, eccentric. that one. Well, the bowling ball one is scary, too.
Oh, I'll be honest with you. I don't think I ever did it.
Yeah. The bowling ball one does scare me. Well, do you have wishes, do you think, Owen?
Yeah. Okay. So, of course, like, my first one would be world peace.
Good one. I don't need to judge your wishes, but that's a lovely wish.
Yep.
And then my second wish, it's a superpower. It wouldn't get me on the Avengers or anything. But just to immediately be able to look at something and know every component in it,
ooh,
that would be awesome.
Like to get a complete cross-section of anything.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I always imagine cross-sections of people's brains and the Rube Goldberg devices must be making them work. but that's another story.
Right.
Yeah. And then I'd say probably my third one would be to, probably to have a my own workshop, with unlimited supplies of pretty much anything I could want.
Workshop.
Yeah, just I'm a maker. I've always loved making things. Yeah.
What a great. Those are great wishes.
Thank you.
There I go judging them, but they're still really great wishes. We just have a couple seconds left. The lectures are going to be November 19th and 20th at Soldiers and Sailors. Mm-hmm. And if you go to faradaylecture.org,
yeah,
how easy. Owen and Nathan, thank you. You guys are a good pair. We should have you come back.
We'd love
sometime.
To.
We'd love to, yeah.
And thanks for being with us. Owen is and Nathan together. Nathan is with the Spectroscopy Society.
Yeah, Spectroscopy Society of Pittsburgh. And I forgot to mention, excellent opportunity on the Tuesday evening show for homeschoolers. We're a homeschooling family. So shout out to the homeschool community. Come on out. It's a great opportunity for STEM. We'd love to see you.
Excellent. And let's see, it's still GCMS, gas chromatograph, mass spectrometers,
exactly.
And HP is still the big maker.
Yeah, HP, Agilent. Okay. Yeah, you bet. I do infrared analysis, so that's my baby.
Oh, man.
Yeah, FTIR and Raman spectroscopy.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't thought about these things in ages, and I probably should stop.
No.
It's thanks for being with us.